Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Ksubayis Kuvtes. We begin at the Mishnah, which is on the bottom of Kuv Ches Amud Beis. Ha-poisek mois l'chosnoi. So the couple is now engaged, awaiting marriage. It so happens that her father had promised some funds to the couple for their marriage, for their life together, and he backs out. Upashad lo yisa regal, says Rashi on the fourth line from the bottom. Upashad lo yisa regal means lashon bezoyin hu. It's a degrading term, meaning, here, take my foot, nothing else. I have nothing to give you. I'm uninterested in keeping my word. V'amar noyesh, she's just, you know, abandoning the commitment. She'ei noyechash ledvarav, he's not really paying any heed to his son-in-law's claim. Take my foot. Toil tit shall gabi ragli. Take the dirt from my foot. That's all I'm going to give you. Vani shamati, says Rashi in the second pshat. Here's my foot. Tilei oisi al eitz. Grab my foot and hang me on a tree. Veinli malite. I have nothing to give you. Tosis points out that perhaps there is no absolute chiyuv for him to give this this money that he promised. There was no kinyan. Or we're speaking that, you know, he doesn't really have anything to give. Or we're speaking that the son-in-law is not really interested in, you know, pursuing this father-in-law for his funds. In any case, bottom line is, he's not giving anything, for whatever reason. So what happens now? Says the Mishnah, Poisek mois l'chosnoi, u'poshat lo yisa regal, teishev achetal ben roisho. The chosn can insist on holding back. I will not proceed, not with marriage, nor with divorcing her. She'll sit until her hair turns white. Hopefully her father-in-law will be pressured enough to step up and fulfill his commitment. Now Tosfos, in the name of Yerushalmi, points out, we are speaking that she was actually present when the father had committed this commitment. So she was really sort of a pseudo-player. An involved party, although it wasn't her money, her commitment, but she was there, she was involved. Tanakama maintains she is a responsible party as well, to the extent that he can force her to wait in limbo until father steps forward and keeps his word. So that is Shitas Tanakama. Admoin Aymar, he disagrees. Why are you faulting the Isha? She can just say, look, ilu, ani pasakti la'atzmi, if it was me that committed to pay, fine, then I am to blame. Eishev achetal ben reishi, I'll sit in limbo. But achshav she'aba pasak, now that it was my father who committed, why am I responsible? Ma ani yichayla la'atzis, what am I meant to do about this? Look, you have a choice, oy kenois, or marry, oy petoyer, or divorce. Pick your choice, one or the other. I'm fine. Either marry or divorce me. Don't have me sit in limbo. In fact, Omar Rabban Gamliel, I agree with Admon Royani as the Rey Admon. Says the Gemara, Masni Sindalaki Aitano. Our Mishnah, which describes the halacha in this manner, that it was father who committed, and even then, Tanakama maintains that the chassan has a right to just leave the isha in limbo. Is the loike aitana is inconsistent with the other version of this halacha, the Brisa's version. The sanya, as the Brisa tells us, Amar Rabbi Roisi, your Riesi Rabbi Yehuda, lo'nechleku admin v'chachamim. There is no discussion, no machlokes between these shitos. In the case of the Mishnah, ala poisek mois l'chosnei, when a father committed money to his son-in-law, u'poshat l'isa regal, and he backed out. In that case, of course, his daughter is an uninvolved, unresponsible party here. She chayli shetoyma, she has a full right to tell the husband, look, abba posak alai, it's my father who committed ma'ani yichayli lasis. What am I meant to do? Of course, in this case, she's not held responsible. So the Brisa disagrees with the Mishnah. Alma nechalku. When then will we have any discussion? When then is there any shita which considers her a responsible party? Al shapaska he al atzma was speaking that she was the one who committed. She committed, you know, her father's money. But she was involved. She made the commitment. Oh, in that case, we have a machlekes. She chachamim oimrim. Chachamim meaning, you know, the Tanakama. They say, there is no money, no marriage. Teishev ad shetal ben roisha. She'll remain in limbo until the commitment is fulfilled. Admoin oimer, even in this case, Admoin says, he disagrees. Yichoyle he shetoyma, she has a full right to counter argue. Kisvura anisha abanoisinalai. Look, I had figured my father is going to pay up. Well, speaking that she has no, you know, resources on her own. I fully assumed my father is going to take care of it. Va'achshav she'en abanoisinalai. But now that my father refuses to step forward, mani yichoydala says, what do you want from me? Oikenois epitur. Marry or divorce. Omar Rabbi Gamliel, Roya Ani Esteri Admoin, and Rabbi Gamliel supports Admoin's shita. Leave her out of the story. So according to Braisa, if father committed, there's no question. You can't put her in limbo. You can't hold her responsible for what the father said. Everybody agrees to that. Either divorce or marry, it's up to you. But you can't just leave her in limbo as an aguna. So according to Bryce, it's only when she personally committed and the money did not come forward. Here Tanakama says, look, she's involved, she's committed. Let it serve as a sort of a pressure on the father to step forward. And even then, Admin says, look, the assumption, the understanding was that father will pay up. What am I meant to do? He's not living up to his obligations. Tana, the Brisa says like this, when do we say that this din applies? Begdoila, when she's an adult, when the Isha was already an Begdoila, mature adult, and made this promise. Ava Begtana, but for dealing with a young girl who committed, in this case, the halacha is different, kaif and reforce. We're not sure what the Brisa means. What do you mean reforce? Who? Kaif and laman. Who are we going to force? Ilay Malayav, we're going to force the father to live up to his commitment. So if the girl was a ketana, when the money was committed, father has to absolutely keep his word. Does that make sense? If chamim boyle, if anything goes the other way. If she was a gdoila, her commitment is legally binding on everybody, so the father will be forced perhaps to produce the money, but if she's just a ketana, you know, ketana's commitments aren't really legally binding. So if anything, it's the other way around. A ketana is less committed than a gdoila. So what does the Braisa mean that by a ketana is committed? Ela Omar Rava says like this. No. Kaifin labal itin get. The Braisa meant that when do we have the right to leave her in limbo? When she was a gdoila. In which case her commitment is binding, but a ketana, what do you want from a ketana? She's not responsible for her commitments. Of course, in this case, even if she committed to a specified amount, you can't just tie her up. Husband has to give her a get. Okay, so now, this concludes the first set of halachos in the name of Admoin. We had two yesterday. We had the Nechasim Mu'atim, divided equally amongst all the kids, the boys and the girls. We had the case of the Kankanim with the Shemen, where according to Admoin, it's a Baidim and Miktsas. And finally, we have the Halacha of the unfulfilled commitment, where according to Admoin, you can't really wrong the Isha. It's not her fault. On all three, Rabban Gamliel sided with Admoin. He took up his position, Roya Anias Divrei Admoin. And this comes after the first two Mishnahs in the Perek, where Chanan put forth his halachas, and his position was always supported by Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. So regarding halacha lamas, let's see. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar Meshmei de Chizkiah, who was an Amora who lived in the earlier generations, and he said like this: Kol Mokim Shomar, Rabban Gamliel, Roya Ani Estevrei Admon. In the previous three Mishnahs, where Rabban Gamliel supports Admon's opinion, Halacha Kemoise, we adopt it as Halacha Lemaise. Okay. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, I have a question. Afilu Bebraisa? Do you mean even Admon's opinion cited in the most recent Braisa here? Even if the Isha herself made that commitment, the commitment was not fulfilled by father. Admon says, don't, you know, hold it against her. Even there, we're going to adopt Admon's opinion. Amar Lesi responds, of course, why not? Mikam Rina B'Mishnah, when I said we follow Admon, it's just in the Mishnah. B'chol Mokim Sh'amar Rabban Gamliel Kamrina. I meant any time Rabban Gamliel supported Admon, whether it's in the Mishnah or on the Braisa, such as in this case, we adopt that as the Halach. Amar B'Zeira, Amar Rabba Bar Yirmiyah. Beis Dvarim Sh'amar Chanan. Those two halachas presented by Chanan and supported by Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, Halacha ki yitzibai, we adopt it as halacha. And Rashi says ki yitzibai means in accordance with the shita who supported him, which in this case is Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So that's the halacha. Likewise, when we speak about Admon, it's the other way. Shiva dvaram shamar Admon ein halacha ki yitzibai. When it comes to Admon, those seven halachas which he said, we have ki yitzibai as well. Ki yitzibai according to Rashi means some of those halachas were supported by Rabban Gamliel. We don't adopt that as halacha lamas. Now this seems to be a cryptic statement. Well, what's going on? Micah Amar, what does he mean? Ilei Mahachikamar, did he mean like this? Shenei Devarim, Sheamar Chanan, halacha kemoisoi vika yetziboi. Regarding those two halachas presented by Chanan, we adopt that as absolute halacha, like Chanan and kayoitziboi, meaning in line with Rabbi Yechonan ben Zakkai, who supported, you know, Chanan Shita. So that's the halacha. But when it comes to v'shiva dvarim she'amar Admon, ein halacha k'moisei v'loy k'yetzibai. Over there, we don't follow Admon nor Rabbi Gamliel, who adopted Admon's opinion. Really, but that's inconsistent with the quote in the name of Chizkiah mentioned a minute ago. Chizkiah was an Amoiter who lived in an earlier generation. It's improbable that there was a machlekes here regarding how to paskin. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar mishmei de Chizkiah kol mokim she'amar Rabban Gamliel royani yestirei Admon. Whenever Rabban Gamliel sided with Admon, such as in these three cases that we mentioned, halacha kemoisei, that's the halacha. So it's improbable that he's trying to tell us otherwise. Elachik amar, rather he meant like this. Shnei devarim she'amar Chanan halacha kemoisei v'kayoytzeboi. When it comes to those two halachas that Chanan presented, we adopt it as halacha in accordance with Rabbi Yechman Zakkai d'kayoytzeboi, the one who supported Chanan. But shiva devarim she'amar Admon ein halacha kayoytzeboi. But regarding the seven halachas presented by Admon, three of which we have already learned, and there are four more coming up. Over there, it's different. Ein halacha ki yitzbay. We don't adopt the shita of Rabban Gamliel, who only sided with three halachas of Admon, the first three, but did not seem to agree with the other ones. We don't take that view. Hakamoisay halachik bekulu. Absolutely. Regarding hakamoisay means actually we follow Admon, Kemoisa meaning the one who actually said the halachas, Admon himself. Halacha b'kulu, we adopt his shita regarding all those seven things. So we disagree with Rabban Gamliel, who only picked three. It's the opposite. We take on all those seven halachas. Is that what he meant to say? But that's inconsistent with Chizkiah once again. Va'am Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, Mishmei de Chizkiah. He quotes Chizkiah that Kol Mokim Shama Rabban Gamliel Royani Yestirei Admon Halacha Kemoisei. Only those three, which Rabban Gamliel adopted, there we follow Admon's shita. Omar in only regarding those three where Rabban Gamliel stated his support for Admon. Do we adopt that as actual halacha? Lo yomar lo, but regarding the other four where he didn't state his support, we don't adopt Admon's shita. Elo rather hachikami meant like this. Shnei devarim she'amar Chanan halacha kemoisei v'kayetzibai. The first two halacha is presented by Chanan. Sure, that's the halacha. The halacha is like Chanan, like the shita that supported Chanan, meaning Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. And regarding the Shiva Dvarim, Shomer Admon, the seven presented by Admon, well, it depends. Yesh mehen shalacha kemoisei. Regarding some, we say that's the halacha. Vikei Yitzibayi, which is consistent with Ram Gamliel, who sided with Admon concerning those first three halachis. V'yesh mehen. However, there are other halachis presented by Admon himself. She'ein halacha kemoisei. And those we do not accept it as halacha. Elokei Yitzibayi, rather. We adopt the shita of Ram Gamliel, who took on Admon's position in some. So basically, we are selective. B'chol mokim shomer Ram Gamliel, royani es divrei Admon. In those instances where Ram Gamliel supported Admon, i.e. the first three Admons that we just learned, in those halacha kemoisa, yes, that's the halacha. Inoch, but regarding the rest, where Ram Gamliel did not express his support for Admon loy, in those we don't adopt Admon shit. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'oirir al hasada. So we have Reuven, a known landowner. He owns a specific field. And he claims that Shimon stole his field. Now, Shimon, the robber, the alleged robber, is selling that same field to Levi. And guess who's signing on that document, on that document of a sale between Shimon, the alleged robber, and Levi, the customer? None other than Reuven himself, who purports to have been robbed. So we have Reuven laying a claim on this property, on this field, alleging that it was stolen from him by Shimon. And now, look what we see. We find Reuven's name on this shtar as a witness to this document of sale, document of purchase, where Levi is purchasing this very field from Shimon. Why would Reuven do that? The document indicates that this field belongs to Shimon. In fact, Shimon is a seller, selling it to Levi. Why are you, the supposed real owner of this property, supporting the sale, signing on to this document? Sort of providing recognition to Shimon's ownership. If it's really yours, Reuven, Admon Omer, says Admon, you know what? It's not indicative of anything. Because Reuven could say, there's a reason why I'm doing this. I plan on getting this field back. But you know, Hasheni Noyachli, it's much easier for me to deal with Levi. He's an easygoing fellow. I'll be able to get it back from him in court. V'harishin kashemena, but Shimon, he's a difficult person. He's going to make for a very difficult and challenging litigant in the Bezdin. So I'm trying to facilitate this type of transfer so that come the day I'll be able to deal with Levi and get back my field. So the fact that I signed on this bill of sale indicates nothing in terms of my recognizing Shimon as the rightful owner. No, I'm the rightful owner. And in fact, soon I'm going to get it back from Levi. And that's Admon's view on this fellow's signature. Chachamim say, no, don't tell us any stories. By signing on to this document, you have relinquished any rights to the field. You have indicated that, yes, Shimon is the rightful owner, and stop saying you're robbed. But, says the Mishnah, in the following case, all agree. Even Admon would agree that Reuven, as the former owner, gave up any rights to this field. Asa simen la'achar means like this. Shimon is now in possession of the property, which Reuven claims to have been robbed from him. Right? Shimon is now selling a neighboring property. So the contested property is property A, right here. Shimon, who's actually holding on to the contested property, decided to sell a neighboring property right next door. We'll call it property B. Now, on that bill of sale, he's describing property B as being adjacent to property A, which also belongs to me, he says. So he says, look, I'm selling property B to Levi. He describes the neighboring fields, you know, the borders, the boundaries as follows. He says, look, on the east side we have property A, which is another one of my fields, and so on and so forth. And that's how he describes the property up for sale. And Reuven, the alleged owner, claims that Shimon actually robbed property A from him, affixes his signature onto this document. Also, Simon la'acher, so Shimon used property A, the contested property, as sort of a boundary mark for another property next door. And Reuven signed on to that document. This is tantamount to a full acknowledgement that in fact property A is fully owned by Shimon as described in the Shtar. Here he can't say, look, I'm trying to facilitate transfer to make it easy for me to get it back. Nobody's transferring property A. We're talking about property B. But that document contains information which is incriminating to Reuven. In that document, it is indicated that property A belongs to Shimon as well. Why are you confirming? Why are you signing your name on this document? By doing so, you have confirmed, and in fact, Shimon is the rightful owner. Back away. Amar Abaye. Back to the first halacha in the Mishnah. So Reuven, the former landowner, affixed his signature onto the bill of sale, onto the Mishtar Mechira between Shimon, the alleged robber, and Levi, an innocent buyer. So Admin says, look, he can explain what he did. I wanted it to be transferred to Levi so that I can, you know, get it back from Levi. Chachamim say, no, that by putting your signature on it, you have, you know, relinquished all rights. Amar Abaye lo yishonu ela eid. This only applies to an aid. So as a witness, you affix your signature onto the document, you confirm everything on that document. Aval dayan lo yibidis chusei. But if he's just a dayan, he's a judge in court. So why was he signing the document? Because he was just authenticating these signatures. It's called being mekayem the shtar, just certifying that the signatures are authentic. So basically, you take this document, and the edim come and testify. Look, these are our signatures. They're real, they're genuine, they're authentic, and the dayan will, you know, put a stamp on it. In that case, even if Reuven was found to have signed this shtar as a judge, as a dayan, lo yibidis chusay, he will not lose any schusim on his field. Even though the information in the shtar reflects Shimon's ownership on this field. So whether it's the first or second case in the Mishnah, doesn't matter. If Reuven is serving as a dayan in this case, that explains, you know, why he put a signature on the shtar, just to confirm the chasim of the edim. It doesn't say anything about him testifying to the actual content of the shtar. Why? The Torah Rabbi Yerchia tells us, "Ein edim choisim al shtar." When edim sign a shtar, they better know what's in there. Elam kein karu. You know, you're signing a ksuba. You got to read through the ksuba. After all, that's what you're coming to testify about. So the signature of an eid is indicative of his knowledge and confirmation of the content in the shtar. Aval adayanim choisim. But a dayan who's simply trying to certify the signatures, the edim on the shtar, you can do that without reading the shtar. So perhaps Reuven has no clue about the content of the shtar, and therefore it cannot be used to incriminate him. Also, siman la'acher. In the second halacha in the Mishnah, we have a case where all agree. Admoin and the Chachamim agree that Reuven has not given up any rights. What's the case? So we have a contested field, and Shimon is in possession of that field. Reuven alleges that it was stolen from him. Now Shimon goes and sells a neighboring field, field A. In that bill of sale, he indicates that field B neighbors field A, which is also one of, you know, his fields. In that case, Reuven has no right, had no reason, no justification for signing on to that shtar. So it's tantamount to a full confirmation and a recognition of Shimon's ownership on that field. Amar Abaye lo yishonu ela la'acher. That only applies when Shimon was selling field B adjacent to field A to a stranger. So what business does Reuven have confirming that information? He had no reason to confirm it, unless it's really true. So in fact, it's indicative of the fact that field A belongs to Shimon as well. But suppose Reuven is personally buying field B from Shimon. He wants the field. And he knows that if he doesn't cooperate, he'll never get that field. So of course, he's not going to make a ruckus now. Even though in that shtar, there is clear indication that field A belongs to Shimon. Remember, in that shtar, on field B, it says, well, field B is located right next to field A, which is also one of Shimon's fields. He keeps quiet. He just goes along with it because he wants field B to be purchased. In this case, lo yibidei zchusa, he doesn't lose his rights. Why? Because he says, look, if I wasn't willing to go along with him, lo yibidei, he wouldn't be interested in selling it to me. He knows that I'm an uncooperative customer, I'm going to make trouble, he wouldn't even bother selling it to me. My islach lemevet. So what should I have done? You're telling me, look, still you had a way out, you should have posted in advance, you should have declared in advance, you should have gotten some edim, and quietly told him, look, you should know that I'm doing this out of duress. I want to purchase field B, inevitably I have to go along with the document, even though there's some false information there. It describes field B as being adjacent to field A, which is also owned by Shimon. You should know it's not owned by Shimon, it's my field. That's not a good idea. You know why? There are no secrets. Chavruch is a known saying. Chavruch, chavr isle. Your friend has another friend. V'chavr the chavruch, your friend's friend. Chavr isle has his friend. There are no secrets in this world. Once I get the word out, everybody will know that I made that declaration, and Shimon, the seller, will back out from the deal. Therefore, I have to just quietly go along with it, cooperate. Although, deep in my heart, I know that the information describing field A as Shimon's field is totally false. Says the Gemara, who da osa simila achar? There was a fellow who, in fact, signed on to a shtar which had this type of information. Right? So he signed on to a shtar that Shimon was using to sell field B to somebody. And it described field B as adjacent to field A, also one of Shimon's properties. Reuven knows it was Reuven's. Reuven knows it was robbed from him. But he actually cooperated. He went along with that shtar. And then he got up and complains that Rabbi Yisai, it's false, it's utterly false. You should know that field A belongs to me. V'shachav, and then he passed away. V'oikim ha'petrup, and he had actually prepared an administrator. He hired a person to take care of the assets on behalf of his kids. Also ha'petrupus, kamed Abaye. Ha'petrupus comes to Abaye. He wants the field back. He knows that his boss had owned field A, had complained about Shimon stealing field A from him. Amalei, Abaye says, what can I do? Asa simon la'achar, ibides chusay, it's a Mishnah. Your boss had confirmed, had signed on, that in fact field A belonged to Shimon. Amar, so the apotropos was a sharp fellow, he says like this, Ihav avoin de yas mikayim, suppose the kid's father would still be around. You know what? He could have said, Havaton Va'amar. He would have said, look, you're right. I cooperated. I went along with the shtar. But what did the shtar say? Shtar said that, well, field B is bordering field A, which also belongs to, the same person, Shimon. Okay, fine. You know what? That first strip of land, the last sort of furrow, last, row, on field A, that belongs to Shimon. That's what he meant. It's next to a piece of land belonging to Shimon. That little strip of land, that's about it. But the rest of the field belonged to Reuven. He never acknowledged more than one telem, than one strip of land. Havaton v'omar telem echad asisi lecha. Yeah, when I confirmed that field B is adjacent to another piece of land belonging to Shimon, I meant just one strip of land at the end, on the border. That's it. So let him have that, but the rest comes back to us. Amalei Shabbat Ka'amr. Rabbi says, wow, that's a great argument. Domer B'yichnan, in fact, B'yichnan supported such an argument. Im Tuan V'omar Telem Echad Asisa L'chanemun. She in fact claims that when I made a simon, I was referring to one strip of land. We have to take that argument. We have to take it. We can't compel him to acknowledge more than that. Okay, fine. You can get away with that. Zil havle mias telemechad. At least give him just that one strip. But he wasn't happy with that. Havala richba de dikli. On that strip of land, it so happens that there was a whole row of intertwined palm trees. A very expensive piece of real estate. So he came up with another argument. You know, sometimes money can do wonders. He says, look, I'm not giving that up. Had the father been around, you know what he would have said? He would have said, Chazar, you know what? True. I once gave it away, but then I repurchased it from him. You don't see anything different in the document. The document describes field B next to field A belonging to the other fellow Shimon. Okay, at that time. But then I went ahead and they bought it back from him. Prove otherwise. Prove me wrong. Amalei, Abai was impressed. Shapik Amris. Well said. Damar B'yechnan. In fact, B'yechnan supports this type of argument. If Reuven can turn around and say, look, what do you mean? I bought it back from him. He's Neman. And Taisus points out that this shtar wasn't really makuyim, wasn't really certified. So there's a migul at play. He could have said, well, the whole document is forged. I'm acknowledging the document, but you should know I repurchased the land. So he's believed. Amar Abayas, Abayi concluded with satisfaction. Haiman the moikim apotropa. When a person is going to choose an apotropa for his kids, noikim kihai. Pick somebody like this fellow, the Yodala Fuche Mishusa Diyasmi, who is very knowledgeable and capable in presenting the Yisoyimim's case. He was very impressed with his arguments, and he won the case. Continues the Mishnah. Mi Sholach L'mdinas Hayom. So this fellow owned a piece of property which was surrounded by other properties. He left town. By the time he came back, he could not locate the path into his field. Of the derech sadeo, everything's overgrown. He can't figure out how to get to his field. And the landowners all around are sending him for a ride. Well, it was there. Admon oimer yelach lebiktzara. Admon maintains that this fellow maintained some sort of right. He didn't lose his path altogether. Take the shortest route to your field. You have a full right to reclaim that territory. The Chachamim Oimrim, no. You have a choice. Yikna loy derech b'meya mana, or pay the fellow, the property owner on the side of the field, give him 100 mana for the path, for the right to use the path. Or yifrach ba'aver, or take a drone, take a plane, and find your way to your field. You can't compel the landowner to give you a piece of land unless you can actually verify the location of your path. My time at the Rabbanon. How do we understand the Rabbanon's opinion? Shaper Kamar Admon. It would seem that Admon's argument is correct. This fellow had a path. Why can't he just reclaim his path? Fine. Not the longest route, but at least the shortest route I'm entitled to. Amar Rav Yudah Marav. We're speaking about the following type of case. Kigoin, for instance. Sheikifua Arbo Bnei Adam Me'abaruch Eseo. What happened was that there were four, separate fields, one on each side of your field, each one belonging to another person, in which case, you're stuck. You're a monkey in the middle. Each person sends you to the next person. Apparently, he's so confused, this guy. He has no idea which side his path was on, right? So everybody's sending him to the next person. You have no absolute claim. You can't nail anyone. So you have no right to a path. That's the Rabbanon's opinion. That's their shita. Hiyach, if that's the case, my time with the Admon, how do we understand Admon's shita? Rabbanon's shita seems to be the right one. You can't compel a person to provide if you can't substantiate your claim? Amarava. Barbo de osu mikorech arbo. Suppose these four pieces of property were formerly owned by four separate people. Now, each fellow transferred to the next customer. So we have four people standing here who had received their properties from their previous owners. So it was four owners transferring to four separate buyers. Or, va'arbo de'osu mikoyachad. Or, initially it was only just one owner for all properties, and he transferred it to four separate people. So currently we have four separate landowners, one on each side of this landlocked property. In this case, of course, there's no machlekes. Kuli alma le'pligi. Everybody agrees. De'matzi matchile. That the four landowners can just, you know, send them to the next. Everybody can send them over to the next person. They can push them away. Ki pligi. When do we have the machlekes in the Mishnah? Bechad. When all four properties are owned by one person. De'asim hikoyach arbo. And he bought his fields from four separate former owners. So initially, it was one field per owner, then sold to a single buyer. That presents the basis for the machlekes in now Mishnah. Admoin sover, mikol mokim darka is ligabach. According to Admoin, the landlocked fellow can say, look, Reb Shimon, you own all these properties. Guess what? Somewhere in those properties, I have rights. I have a path. So you can't refuse my rights. You can't turn me down. Somewhere in your properties lies my path. For Rabbanu say like this. This fellow can say, look, Ishatkas. He says, look, you're looking for a pathway? Look, if you're going to behave, you're going to keep quiet, you're going to take my offer. I'm offering you, you know, a cheap deal. Shaskas. Then fine. That's good for you. So if you stay quiet, you'll be quiet, you'll be good. V'loy, but otherwise, if you keep on threatening me to take back your pathway free of charge, you know what I'm going to do? Ma'adarnu shtor l'marayu. I'll just return the documents to their former owners, meaning I'll give back the fields. Remember, I bought it from four separate people. Theoretically, I can just go give back the fields. And then you're really stuck. Because you can't deal with four people. You can't prove anything to four people. Each person sends you to the next person. So just because, Tosis explains, just because I'm just one person now, you think you have me nailed. You can force me to give you a pathway. You can't, you know, you can't have a greater claim on me than the buyer, than the sellers who send it to me, who sold it to me. Right, it's a simple svara. My purchasing of these properties cannot generate for you a greater schus than before. These four properties were formerly owned by four separate people, in which case you didn't have any schus against them. Because you have no way of substantiating your claim against four people. Right? Just because now I'm just one person, that can't serve to my disadvantage, explains Tosfos. So he's phrasing his claim this way. He's phrasing his argument in this manner. Look, either be quiet, meaning accept my offer, offering you a reasonable deal. I'll give you some rights for some reasonable fee. Either accept it, or guess what? I'll just go back and give the fields back. Basically what he's saying is, you can't have more rights now than before. And theoretically, if I give back the fields, guess what happens? You're stuck. You're really stuck. You'll have no argument against them. So it's better for you just to accept this deal. That's the Rabbanan Shita. And the Admin disagrees. At the end of the day, you own all the fields. And somewhere amongst those fields, you know, lies my path. And therefore, he has a right to claim his path back. Although the shortest route. Okay, concludes the daf with two stories. Ahud Amar Lo Dikla Labras. So this fellow before his passing promised a palm tree to his daughter. Passed away. Also, Yasmi Pologlanichsi. So the sons went ahead and they just divided everything amongst themselves. Lo Yavala Dikla without giving her deserved palm tree. So now the daughter wants her palm tree. From whom? Each brother sends it to the next brother. Who says I'm the one to give it to you? Maybe he's the one. Maybe he's the one. Sava Reisa Lamei. Reisa figures, oh, that's exactly our Mishnah. Hayne Masnisen. We're according to the Chachamim. You can't compel any party to provide. Amar Li Abaye. Abaye responds, no, big difference. Me dummy. This is not a match to the Mishnah. Awesome. In the case of the Mishnah, Kol Chad V'Chad Motzi Matchilei. Every landowner could just push him away. Can be doichim. It's not me, it's him. It's not him, it's him. You can't prove otherwise. Because you don't remember where your path was located. But here, hacha, in the case of the Yisayimim, dikla gabayuhu. Inevitably, they all are obligated to keep their father's, you know, word. So these four sons, let's say there are four sons, every one of them has a personal obligation to provide for his sister. It's like, you know, each one has to give a quarter of a palm tree. So we're not looking for the culprit. We're not looking for one person who's obligated. They're all four obligated. They all share this joint obligation to provide for their sister. So of course they have to go and give her a palm tree. Let them figure out how to do it. My takantai, so what's the solution? They're ready to divide the fields. Redo it. List for Lord Diklo, let them first give her a palm tree of Lihadra and redo for the Falgumeration, redo the entire allocation. They'll redivide whatever's left. Hauda Amar Lord Diklo Lebras, this fellow again committed a palm tree to his daughter. Shachavi passes away, Vishabek Tre Palgi de Diklo. He left off some palm trees that he owned entirely, but then he has two palm trees which were a shutfus. He had a partnership on these trees with a neighbor, let's say. So two trees were half owned by this fellow. The Yisayimim prefer giving her the two halves. It's more difficult to deal with a partner. So they preferred giving her the two halves in lieu of her whole palm tree. Yosef Rav Ashi, the Kokashi leader, Rav Ashi was sitting and contemplating. Mi koru inshi litre palgi dikla. Is it normal for a person to refer to two halves as a palm tree? You know, when you say palm tree, can it also refer to two halves? Or no, when you say palm tree, it's a single palm tree. Are they entitled to give her, you know, both halves? Or do they have to give her a full and complete palm tree? Amar le Rav Mardechai Rav Ashi, Hochi Amar Abimi Magronya, Mishmei the Rabbi said the name of Rabbi, yes, Karu Inshi, it so happens that people will refer the trade Bagli Dikli to two halves, using the Lashon Dikla. So, yeah, in fact, they can just get away by giving her, you know, the two halves. Okay, so we had three missions today. We started with this fellow who was Peshet HaSeregel. He committed to some sort of dowry and did not come forth. According to the Mishnah's version, we're speaking that the father promised and he did not keep his word. Tanakama holds. She's in limbo. Admon says, don't hold it against her. Ram Gamliel adopted Admon's position, and the Braisa was speaking that she committed. And once again, we have the same machlokes. Tanakama allows the husband to keep her in limbo, and Admon disagrees. And of course, this only applies to a gdolah who committed, but a ktana, well, that's not legally binding. We conclude that when it comes to these three halachos, the most recently mentioned mishnayos, over there we follow Admon's shita as per Rambam Gamliel's recommendation. We move on to the next mishnah. A fellow claims to have been robbed. And then he goes and he confirms. He signs on to a shtar where his alleged robber sells that very field to another person. Tanakama says, you've lost your rights. Admon disagrees. Maybe it was all a scheme to get it over to the next person who's an easier litigant for me, and therefore it's no indication at all of a recognition of his rights. But in the case of Asa Simla Acher, the alleged robber had actually sold a neighboring field. And in that shtar, he indicated that the first field also belongs to him. And now the alleged victim signed on to that shtar. And there's no excuse for that. Unless, as the Gemara tells us, the alleged victim was trying to buy that neighboring field, in which case he kept his mouth shut and cooperated, in which case there's no confirmation at all as per Shimon's ownership. The Gemara does tell us this only applies to an aide who's meant to familiarize himself with the content of a shtar, but a dayan who just confirms these signatures, is not really confirming any content. We moved on to the third mishnah. A fellow had some land and a path to get to that land. He lost the location of that path. So the Gemara tells us we have four landowners all around. There's no way you can compel them. But if it's just one fellow owning the land, he bought that surrounding properties from four sellers. In this case, Admin says, well, he's obligated to give because it's just one man. We know somewhere amongst his properties lies this fellow's pathway. Tanakhama disagrees. Chacham say, look, he can turn around and say, look, either take my deal, I'll give you a good deal on access rights, or I'll just go back and give back the properties. He has a full right to say that, because after all, you can't compel me to give more than if theoretically these lands would have remained back in the possession of the former owners, and this way he has a right to compel him to pay for his pathway. We concluded with two stories, the last of which told us that the Yisoyimim have a right to give her two palm trees, which are only half owned by the father, that also can be described as a palm tree, which was promised to the daughter. Hatzlach rabbah to you, and besuros tovos.